If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Topic that we are going to delve into today or in the upcoming episodes probably is Nazr, and that's what we are going to do according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we continue our program, let's take a listen to short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. So,
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on Arabi English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. The topic that we are talking about is Islamic laws about vows or nazr. Sheikh Javid, you know, if an individual makes a vow or a pledge that will spend, he will spend or she will spend some money in the name of, for example, one of the infallibles, Lady Fatima, peace be upon her, or one of the imams, peace be upon them all. Is it permissible to spend the amount, the same amount to which the vow was attached, on any charitable work or any good deed in name of those people in which you have made the vow about?
Oh, that's good. Well, it is permissible to spend the money or the thing donated or about which the nazr has been made in the name of the infallibles, peace be upon them, on any charitable act or any charitable work or any good deeds, let's say using the money to hold a mourning ceremony or a commemorative ceremony on the occasion of the martyrdom of, let's say, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, so the money can be spent on any good deeds, because he did not specify. He said that, okay, I'm going to give some money in the name of Lady Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha, and then, okay, the money is not cannot be given to the lady herself, but okay, the money should be spent on good and charitable activities, like, for example, good deeds, any good deed, like one of the good deeds that can be, on which money can be, the donated money can be spent, is holding ceremonies and majalis on the occasion of the martyrdom of one of the infallible imams, of course.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, another question, Sheikh Javid, is that can an individual make a vow to do something which he or she is not capable of performing it?
Oh, that's a good question. A person can make a vow only for an act which is possible for him to fulfill or to comply with. He has the power to do it.
Right.
If, for example, a person is not capable of traveling, let's say, to Karbala, and he makes a vow that he will walk from, let's say, from India to Karbala, okay, something which he a normal individual cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
So this vow is not binding. It's not valid, because such a person cannot walk 2,000 or 3,000 kilometers from India or Pakistan all the way to Karbala. So mm-hmm. The vow is not valid in the first place.
Yes. Okay. Sir Shavit, someone says, I have more than one vow, right?
Yes.
For example, let's say 10 vows on me to fulfill. And I don't know whether the formula recited, though at that time then, to make those vows was valid. What does he or she have to do to be relieved of his or her obligation?
Well, first of all, as I said in one of the previous episodes, the formula should contain the word Allah. And if he remembers that the formula he recited contained the word Allah, then he should go ahead and fulfill the vow. And in the event that he does not remember, or he has no idea whether he even recited the formula or not in the first place, then of course it's not obligatory for him to fulfill the vow and to do anything, because he has no idea, he's not sure whether he recited any formula or not, then we can assume that he did not recite any formula. And there is a principle which we call the principle of istishab. So the principle of istishab, which is actually to presume the continuity of the something, indicates or suggests that individual is not under the obligation to fulfill, to do anything, because we can say that in the past nazr was not obligatory, and now we doubt whether it is still obligatory on him or not, or it is obligatory in him upon him at all or not. Then we conclude that it is not obligatory at this time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawbid, our guest speaker. Well, the topic that we are talking about is Nazr or vow. And Sheikh Tawbid, I want to ask you this question in this part of our program Islamic Laws. If a person makes a vow that they will perform an unlawful or reprehensible act, or the other way around, if they refrain, they make a vow to refrain from a lawful or obligatory act as well as a recommended act, are their vows valid?
Well, it's a matter of 2 + 2 = 4. The answer is very clear, because a person cannot make a vow promising or pledging to do or to commit a haram act or to perform a makruh act, you know. And a person cannot make a vow also to refrain from, you know, a wajib or a mustahab act. So the thing is that such a vow is invalid in the first place. The act that you are going to perform, and or the vow that you must that you make, should include an act which has some preference according to Islamic Sharia. It's good to do, it's better to do, and then you make a vow that you will do it. In that case, the vow is valid. Otherwise, if it has no preference, and it is even haram or even makruh, or it is a kind of an act which involves refraining from something which is recommended, which is maybe wajib, so the vow cannot be valid in this case.
Mm-hmm. Sheikh Tawbid, what is the Islamic law, what is the Sharia law about an act that has an equal merit? If a vow is made to do such an act, is it obligatory, is it mandatory to perform the very act?
Okay. I understand from your question that equal merit means that it's something neither good nor bad.
Right.
It is 50-50, you know, it's in between. So if a person makes a vow that he will perform or abandon a normal act, for example, the performing or abandoning, you know, an act which is, it's neither good to perform nor bad to perform, so it has equal merits in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So his vow is not in order, because as I said, there should be something good in it. It should have a preference. It should be preferable. Otherwise, the vow is not valid. So if performing is better in some respect, and a person makes a vow to do it, to fulfill it, then it's okay, it's permissible. For example, if a person makes a vow that, okay, he will eat a certain kind of food so as to gain strength for worshipping Allah, for remaining vigilant, rendering services to the people,
right,
his vow will be in order, because praying, worshipping is good, mm-hmm, and he has made a vow to eat food so as to remain strong. That's good.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And let's say I give another example. If a person makes a vow that he will renounce, okay, and renouncing an act is good in some respect, And for example, if he finds smoking is harmful, and he makes a vow that, okay, he not to smoke, his vow is in order because smoking is harmful. And even if it is not harmful, it is very much likely that smoking can, let's say, result, can endanger someone's life or risk his health. So renouncing is good. And of course, if a person makes a vow to renounce smoking, then it is that the vow is valid.
Okay, thank you very much, Ashavit. Thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. From me and the rest of the team here in this radio, we say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajam ilaha illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Sami'un Basir Mumbitum al-Zahir wal-Batin.